الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. I understand that some of you have been driving 50, 60 miles to get here, and the impression that I get is that you really mean business, obviously. It's not an entertainment session, and that's why I said it's not just a public lecture. It only works, and if you really want to jumpstart your spiritual life, if you want to make a change in your life, all of us, and I include myself definitely as well, if we want to make a change in our lifestyle, and improve the spiritual aspect of it, we have to do a bit of practice and assignment and homework is involved in this course as well. You recall that last session I urged brothers and sisters to make sure that you prepare your final will and your wasiyah. May I just ask, and I don't mean to embarrass anyone, but may I ask if you really have already prepared your will before coming to this session or not? If you have or you haven't, say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So how am I supposed to know that whether you have prepared or not? But this is really something that I'll leave it to individuals. Those who mean business, those who are serious, those who are not only here to listen and, excuse me with all respect, in from one ear and out from another one, as time usually does that to us, we only need to practice it. It's so necessary for us as the first step of really getting into this journey, or at least be prepared for it. And the first step of preparation is to spend some time. If you have not done it already, please, I urge you tonight as you go home and or tomorrow, spend your weekend, the remaining time of your weekend, to write down your will, all right? Put it in an envelope, seal it, put a sticker tape on it. Inshallah, time to time, you are going to read it. It really helps us. Now, again, to continue with a bit of preparation for this journey, so that inshallah, by the grace of God, when next week and from next week, inshallah, we are going to literally get into the journey, we are prepared for it. Let me add something to what I've been talking about in the last sessions. Thinking and remembering death has so many benefits. I'm not sitting here to depress you, as some people misunderstand. We really, the purpose of these sessions is just to help us accelerate the spirituality of our life. The first benefit of it is the preparation for something that, as we said, is inevitable. You don't want to be taken by surprise. If you want to run your company efficiently, you know that there is a taxation office, and you know that there's always a chance that you will be audited. So a wise director of a company always prepares himself, employs an accountant, and does whatever necessary measurement that had to be done to make sure that if all of a sudden I'm audited, I'm not taken by surprise. Well, death is more important than that, definitely. So talking about death is just to make us more vigilant and more alert of something that is absolutely no doubt about it's happening. The second benefit of talking and remembering death is that it's expediting the repentance and going for good deeds. If I really and truly believe that tonight that I go to bed, as I shall recite one of the ayat, some of the ayat relating to that to you, if I truly believe that my bed tonight can be my grave, and there is always a chance, a possibility that I may never get a chance to see the sun of the following day, Sunday, then if there is any bitter situation between me and my wife, for example, between me and one of my friends, my colleagues, one of the believers, I make sure that I settle it down. If I have any debt to anyone, I make sure that I settle it down. That's what I said. It's so important, really, to have our will and update it time to time. And also, yes, if there is any debt or any right that the Almighty God has on me, be salat, being fasting, whatever it is, and I have not taken care of it, I make sure I settle it down before I go to bed tonight. That's an indication that I'm taking death seriously. So it's expediting, you know, repentance, and also it makes it easier to give charity for the sake of God. No one can be exempt, believers or disbelievers, prophets or laymen. No one is exempt from somehow, sometime going through the turmoils and difficulties of life. The third benefit of remembering this is also to help us. See the difference between a good, believing, pious man and an atheist or a sinful person is not that once I become pious, I'm going to have a luxury and comfortable life and never have difficulties. It's no such thing. The difference is that piety, faith in God helps us to go through the turmoils of life successfully without giving up, without, you know, feeling of like dead end in my life. Remembering death is always healthy and helpful to make us go through the turmoils and hardship and difficulties of life easier. Dua Kumail, that inshallah you read it, we read it in that Dua Kumail. See how Imam Ali alayhi salam is comparing the hardship of dunya, no matter how hard it is, with the hardship of the hereafter. And the conclusion is so easy that the Imam says, فَكَيْفَ احْتِمَالِ لِبَلَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَجَلِيلِ وَقُوعِ الْمَكَارِهِ فِيهَا. How can I possibly tolerate that great torment and punishment of the Day of Judgment? A weak and poor person like me who cannot stand a simple headache or toothache, how can I possibly stand burning of the hellfire? So no matter how hard the present situation of my life is compared with what I may be going through in the hereafter, after my death, it's so easy to stand it, because at the end of the day it will pass. Financially, in however stages, you know, example it is, it's going to pass. I should be more concerned about when it comes to my life after this. Medically, we all have experienced that if you have a bit of headache, but you have a severe toothache, you become oblivious of your headache. You don't feel that you had that headache anymore because the toothache is stronger. So if I'm more conscious and concerned about the turmoils of life after death, I become, you know, the difficulties of this life become so trivial, does not take my attention anymore. So this is also another benefit of it. Another benefit of remembering death, if you say salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, inshallah, I shall share it with you. Another benefit of this is really something that is so important, again, for planting and investing for our hereafter, and that is detachment from this dunya. Taking it easy when it comes to the luxury of this dunya. So much so that like others around me, I don't get that luxury fever, that I refer to it as a luxury fever, that go for brands always after things that are not really necessities of my life. It's just because I like to have them. I take it easy when it comes to luxury of this life, because I'm spending my time, this capital that God has given me, more for my akhirah. So detachment from this dunya is also another benefit of thinking and seriously remembering life after death. One of the very important, experimentally important benefits of remembering this, seriously remembering this, is that the challenge that we as believers time to time we feel, how can I tame and rein my lust? Rein, like, you know, that leather strap that put around the horse, that the rider is holding it and when necessary is pulling it to control the horse. Now the horse of my lust sometimes becomes unleashed and I feel that I'm driven by it instead of me driving it. How can I tame this lust? How can I rain it? Quran and numerous riwayat says that the best way to tame it, as Imam Ali alayhi salam says, is to remember this. Aktharu dhikra al-maut, repeatedly remember this. A young boy came to me, a teenage boy, and to my office, and he confided with me about a very private sin that he said he's addicted with it, masturbation. And he said, Sheikh, I feel so bad after that. I don't know how to get out of it. After having some discussions with him, the last, so to speak, card that I had to play to him, I said to him that, look, do you have any doubt that you are mortal or you think that you are not going to die? He said, of course I am. I said, do you think that you have to get to your 70s, 80s until you die, or there's a chance that you die earlier? Of course, there's a chance always that we may die. I said, when you are lying down in bed, and you know that feeling of loss is bombarding you, the satanic thoughts is bombarding you to play with yourself, you need to counterattack that by sending massive pain, because shaitan is sending pseudo massive pleasure to your brain to make you, to provoke you to do what he wants you to do. You need to counterattack that. And how to do it? To send massive pain to your brain, commands, and feel that, think of hell, think of the blaze of the hellfire. Remember this, that the Prophet had said after coming back from his Mi'raj and ascension, that I saw the adulterer and adulteresses, that the flame of fire is coming out of their private parts. And then the Prophet explains that adultery is not only limited to illegitimate sexual intercourse. There is an adultery of the eye, having a lustful haram look. There is an adultery of the hand, quoting the Prophet of Islam, and that is masturbation. And I said to him that you cannot afford this. If you, in that state of janaba after that, you fall asleep, and God forbid you die like that, you cannot afford that. Do you see how it can really change our lifestyle, inshallah, to better, with salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One of the points that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran emphasizes on it, for us to really believe with certainty about death, is that death is a universal law, that it means that it's not, no one is exempt from it, except the Almighty God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions this fact to us in three stages. In the first stage, in Surah Ar-Rahman, that inshallah you know it, this part that is off by heart, Quran says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَان. Whoever is on it. Apparently this pronoun refers to the earth. Yani, whoever is on earth is perishing or is perishable. Already is perishable. Whoever is on it. Apparently this ayah is talking first and foremost about us humans. For the reason that Quran says kullu man, not ma. Whoever, meaning that intellectual beings, intellectual creations of me who are living on earth are all going to perish and die. This is to start with. Then Quran takes it one step further and says that kullu nafsin da'iqatul maut. More than once, this is mentioned in the Quran. Every living creature is going to have a taste of death. Brothers, you and I will never have a taste of the pang of delivery. So no matter how many times we are around our wives at the time of the delivery, when she's in labor, we see, we feel sympathetic for her, but we cannot taste it. It's not possible for us to taste it. Quran says that death is something that sooner or later you are going to have a taste of it. Every living creature, including the angel of death, the riwayat says that time will come that even Azrael, the angel of death, who used to be collecting for millions of years, God knows for how long, all the living creatures on earth, is going to have a taste of death himself as well. Of course, the death of angels, because they are spirit, they are not physical, is different. فَسَعْقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. It's some sort of unconsciousness. But however it is, to their own form or shape that God knows best, they are going to also have a taste of it. And the final talk on this is that Quran says, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٍ. I tell you, everything that exists and is within my creation is going to perish. هَالِكٌ, not only it's going to perish, it's already perishing. It's like already dead. Because if I'm going to die one day, it's just something that is going to happen, already has happened. Because it's inevitable that it's going to happen. Death is also a mystery and remains a mystery for mankind forever. No one can ever tell when, where, and how they are going to die. This is again something that the knowledge of that is kept hidden from us humans. As for nobody knows where, Quran clearly says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بَأَيَّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. Nobody knows on which piece of earth he or she is going to die. Nobody knows. If we really believe in that. Rumi in Masnavi mentions a very nice story that once upon a time, a man came to Prophet Solomon, at the time of Prophet Solomon, Prophet Sulaiman, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. He came desperately to Prophet Solomon and says, Ya Rasulallah, I was just on the street and I saw Israel looking at me weird. I'm scared. I think he was after me. Could you please, God has given wind to you. You captured the wind. Can you please command wind to take me into a remote area? Prophet Solomon says that, well, if that's going to please you, no problem. Ya Rih, or wind, take him to India. A remote area then. A few hours later, Israel comes to Prophet Solomon, and Solomon says that, Ya Ayyuhal Malak, you angel, why are you scaring people? He says, when did I scare anyone? He says that one of our citizens was just here a couple of hours ago, and he said that you looked at him weird and scary. He says, no, that was the look of curiosity and a strange look. Because I have a command from the Almighty God to collect his soul tonight in India. And when I saw him on the street of Babylonian, I said to myself, what the hell is he doing? I'm just saying that. What on earth is he doing here? How is he going to get to India in such a short time? And subhanAllah, Prophet Solomon smiles and says, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بَأَيَّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. Sometimes we are rushing somewhere, not knowing that we are rushing towards our death. صَلُّوا عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ again. Second part of the mystery of death is that nobody knows when. So far we said nobody knows where. Nobody knows when. And at which date, time exactly he or she is going to die. Believe me, even doctors cannot tell. Medically, it's so difficult to tell the exact time of death even, when they are issuing death certificate. Alright? Let alone giving a general information about it. That's again because Quran says that, أَفَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَىٰ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمْ بَأْسُنَا بَيَاتًا وَهُمْ نَائِمُونَ. Did people of the town then feel secure against our punishment and against death that it may come to them while they're asleep? That's what I told you, that check with the doctors if you don't know. See how many already in Dearborn last night, if possible to get the statistics on that. How many humans, apparently healthy humans, like you and I, went to bed last night in Dearborn and never woke up again? That's what the Quran says. And we all know that it's true. It can happen to me as well. Quran in the next ayah continues and says, أَوَأَمِنَ أَهْلُ الْقُرَانِ يَأْتِيهُمْ بَأْسُنَا ضُحًا وَهُمْ يَلْعَبُونَ. Also, did the people of the town feel secure against our punishment and death to come to them while they are playing their game during the daytime? It can happen to them. Some years ago, a friend of mine was diagnosed with liver cancer, and the doctors, after a lot of treatment, they gave up and they sent him home. They said he's got only a few more days to live, and better to spend that time with his family, to have some quality time. I went with my wife to visit them, visit that brother, Rahmatullah Alayh, and his family were around him. After having a bit of joke and trying to change the environment, I also remember a hadith that crossed my mind, and I said to his wife, to his sons, and to himself that, look, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that if you recite ayat Surat Al-Fatiha 70 times, 70, if you read it 70 times, let's say on a glass of water, and you drink it, I will not be surprised that even a dead is back to life, is brought back to life. That's the power of Surat Al-Fatiha, Surat Al-Hamd. And then we got up to leave. His wife followed my wife and said, tell Sheikh that my husband's situation is worse than that. Really, doctors have given up and there's nothing anyone can do about it. My wife turns around and says to her that, well, it's not going to harm and it's not going to cost you anything. Why don't you just do it? Trust the word of a ma'soom and just do it. God knows best. If it's meant to die, yes. If not, this can change it. Believe me, a few days later, I was expecting a call from his sons for funeral. A week passed, 2 weeks passed. Ajib, nobody calls. Out of curiosity, I picked up the phone with worrying, calling one of his sons, and guess what? He said that, Alhamdulillah, my dad is feeling better. My mom did what, the based on hadith that you had mentioned. My dad feels much better now. And he was a cab driver, and he's back to work. He's even back to work, driving his cab. All right? He overlived his wife almost 2 years, a bit less than 2 years. Some months later, I was in a meeting and I had an emergency call from one of his sons that my mom, all of a sudden, not dad anymore, now this time is their mother, was diagnosed with another kind of cancer, and within this span of a week, she expired. And her husband, who was almost dying, overlived him for almost 2 years. Now that I'm talking to you, both of them have passed away. Of course, we are mortal. Eventually, we are all going to die. But that's what I'm saying, that nobody knows when. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam was passing by. Some boys were sitting around their dying father, weeping and crying. The Imam smiled and passed by. The companions said that, Ya Rasulullah, what was that grin for? The Imam says, because they are crying, not knowing that that boy who was sitting on that corner, he's going to die sooner than his dad. His dad is going to be recovered, and that boy is going to die before his dad. And it happened. Nobody knows when. I'm mentioning these things, brothers and sisters, deliberately, and this is the last session for preparation for this, so that inshallah we take it serious. So that inshallah from next week when we start the journey, I really want you to, and all of us to really feel it, that we are dying and we have prepared ourselves already for it. So nobody knows where, nobody knows when, and nobody knows how and in which status he's going to die. If I really believe that I don't know in which status of mind and physical status I'm going to be, I need to always prepare myself for it. I cannot afford sleeping in bed while in the state of janabah. If still we are sleeping in the state of janabah, that means I have not taken this discussion serious and real. Still, for some mysterious reasons, like as if somebody has come and given me a guarantee that I'm going to wake up to have my shower. Otherwise, who wants to die in the state of janabah? Who wants to die in the state of, you know, having committed the haram sin and so forth? Therefore, فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Rest assured that inshallah we don't die unless true Muslims. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. Now the remaining time inshallah I will share with you something about the reality of death as the heading for tonight was. What is really death all about? Is death annihilation? That once I die, I finish, no longer exist. Definitely from the Islamic and philosophical point of view, it's nothing further than truth to say that death is annihilation. We refer to an organism as a living organism when body and soul, and by soul we are talking about different types of soul, even a vegetation soul, animal soul, human soul, or above that, intellectual souls. There has to be some sort of soul and living, you know, organism in it for this physical body, for this matter, to say it's a living organism. So when there is body and soul fully connected to each other, we say it's a living organism. It's a living human. It's a living animal and a living plant and living earth and so forth. We say it's dead, this land is dead, when there is no vegetation growing, for example, like a barren land. We say that this animal is a mater, is a dead animal, when this animal is no longer breathing, is no longer moving and growing. And likewise, I will be dead when my body will be dead. My soul doesn't die. I will talk on that. My body dies when no longer my body can breathe. No longer my body moves and grows. So death has these characteristics when it comes to matter. No living, no moving, no growing, and then it's dead. And that's why we say that this animal is dead, this plant is dead, this human is dead. That's all about it. Not that doesn't exist. Quran says in Surah Al-Mulk, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاتِ. Blessed is the one who has created death. In fact, says first created death and then says life. Because before you and I become living creatures, we were dead. And كَيْفَ تَكْفَرُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَكُنْتُمْ أَمْوَاتًا فَأَحْيَاكُمْ. You used to be dead, meaning that your body had no movement, no motion. And then soul comes to it, when in the fetus of the mother becomes a living organism, then you have conscience, as they call it, and whatever else. All right. For this reason, the terms used in the Quran for death are the following, two terms only. One is with reference to body, another one with reference to the soul. As for the body, Quran uses the term al-maut, not al-faut. There's no fata, there's mata, died. As I said, the meaning of dead, like a dead water is a water that's not flowing. A dead land is a barren land that is, there's no vegetation on it. A dead human is a human that this body is there, but no longer is moving, no longer is breathing, no longer is growing. So Quran says, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtaha. Yani at the time of the death of the body, what happens to my soul? Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa. God is in Surah Zumar, God is thoroughly collecting the souls of dying humans. Inshallah, from next week, we elaborate on it. Inshallah, talk more about it. That God is collecting. The term yatawaffa is from al-wafad. Wafa yafi, it means when you are collecting something thoroughly. Fawaffa, fawaffa wa hisaba, as we have it in Surah Nur in the Quran. If I owe you, for example, hypothetically speaking, don't claim it against me, huh? If hypothetically speaking, I owe you $100 and I give you $90, you say, Sheikh, that's all right, I can let it go, but honestly, you still owe me another $10. If I give you $99, say, well, all right, that's nothing really, it's all right, malish, we can let it go. But I have not paid you back thoroughly, completely. But only if I give you $100, as I have received $100 from you, now you say, Al-an waffaytu mali, if you are conversing Arabic. Now I have thoroughly collected my money back. Quran using this term, uses it when talking about death. Allahu yatawaffal anfusa, meaning that nothing, absolutely nothing will be lost at the time of the death. Thoroughly collecting my soul and your soul and everyone's soul at the time of the death of the body. For what and what will happen to my soul in barzakh? Until temporarily, until eventually on the day of judgment, body and soul again become united. It's something that inshallah we need to talk about it in the coming session. So death in a sense is similar to birth. When a baby is delivered from the womb of the mother, it's just like coming from another world to a new world. When we die from this world, we will be born to another world. our souls, at least in Barzakh, another life that is called, another world is called Barzakh, in the Quran and the Riwayat. The difference is that when the baby is born, people in this world, we see that they are celebrating, congrats, mashallah, the baby is born healthy, that many kilos and so forth, and his name is so and so, everybody is congratulating the parents of the child. Whereas when that child time comes that he dies, I'm so sorry, commiseration, condolences, weeping and crying. But if this is this side of the curtain, inshallah, from next week when we look at the other side of the curtain, inshallah, if he dies as a good believer, on the other side of the curtain, there's a celebration. His ancestors had already died, like his parents or anyone who had died before him. Oh, ahlan, ahlan wa sahlan, welcome, where have you been? We missed you. Come, I show you, don't worry, don't be scared. Inshallah, you will be received by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. We all be received by Abu Abdullah al-Hussein upon our death, attending as Muharram is at the corner, attending majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, weeping and crying, saving for our akhirah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not going to forsake us in our grave, inshallah, in the new world that will be entering us. You will feel, inshallah, this ayah will be applicable to us. Udkhuluha bisalam and amaneen. Step into that new world in peace and secure. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, this peace and security is for the believers, for those who have endeavored in this life to better themselves, for those who had the flames of the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam in this dunya, and death for them would be the last musaffa, the last purifier, that is purifying them from the remaining sins in them. The agony of death that they go through, the hardship before that the Rawayat says that it's a blessing. It's a hidden blessing for a believer to be a bit of sick before he dies or she dies. It's a purifier. It made it for a better life in Barzakh. But upon death for them will be like Antaraton, as Imam Hussain alayhi salam says. It's like a bridge taking us from a prison to a beautiful life, from a limited to an eternal life. Inshallah, bihaq Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. I also have one more assignment for you. If you really want to help me for the next session to have some background of the topic, I urge you, inshallah, you all have access to internet, or if you have Nahjul Balagha at home, you can access it as well. Please make sure that from now until next week, you spend some time to read and reflect on Sermon 221 of Nahjul Balagha. I repeat again, 221, Sermon 221 of Nahjul Balagha. Sometimes there might be a difference in the numbering of the sermons. It's a sermon that the Imam is talking about the interpretation of Surat At-Takathur, Al-Hakum At-Takathur. Alright, so on the heading you can see that. Please read it. I've taken my students to the cemetery, and over there I have read and explained that beautiful sermon. One of the interpreters of Nahjul Balagha, who is also a Sunni scholar, he takes an oath in the majesty name of God and says, I swear by Allah, that my life is in his hand, that for the last 50 years of my life, at least I have read this sermon over and over again and again, more than 1,000 times, and every time I have a goosebump when I read it. Please spend some time and reflect on it, read it, with attention, carefully, go through the meaning of it as preparation, and rest assured again that you have your will as well. We are not going to talk about death anymore. From next week, we start the journey. I really want all of us, inshallah, to start it. Not to die, but to feel it. Mutu qablan tamutu. Experience death voluntarily before it really happens to us. Once again, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammadin bi'a'la aswatikum.